KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
Welcome to KSL at Night. This is Taylor Morgan, your host for this evening. Listeners, I want to make sure you know that anytime you are looking for a prior recorded show that was aired here on KSL News Radio, if it's Boyd Matheson's Inside Sources or Dave Noriega and Debbie Dujanovic on Dave and Dujanovic in the mornings, or KSL at Night, you can find any and every prior recorded show in podcast format on kslpodcast.com after the show has been aired. It's a great resource, a lot of content there. Put in your earbuds, do the housework, put it on in the car on your way to work. You can find everything at kslpodcast.com. With that said, let's get into our first topic tonight, the race to fill the upcoming vacancy that will be left by the retirement of Utah Senator Mitt Romney. The race for the Republican nomination to fill the U.S. Senate seat is heating up. The first real decision point will be on Saturday, April 27th, the state Republican Party convention. And going into convention, the race is getting a little bit dirty with some new attack ads coming from shady super PACs and other sources. We want to talk about this with the one and only Holly Richardson, editor of Utah Policy. Holly, welcome to the show. I'm sorry to bring you on to talk about this this dirty campaigning story, but you have a lot of experience with positive campaigning. You have a really good sense of what's happening behind the scenes in Utah politics. So can you walk our listeners through what the latest examples are of dirty campaigning in Utah?
You bet. So negative campaigning is one of my favorite topics.
Okay. Way to keep it positive, Holly. I love it.
One of the reasons is it happens every single cycle. And the reason it does is because they work. So there's some hope, right, that voters start to become more and more aware of these kind of attack ads. So what we mean by shadowy PACs, a political action committee, sending out text messages and emails to delegates right now, what that looks like is an anonymous PAC. They have this innocuous sounding name. They didn't start spending money until right after the March 31st filing deadline. So nobody knows where their money came from. And they won't have to file another report until after the convention has happened. So that's kind of the shadow part, right? You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know who's funding them. But there's a PAC, at least one, that is sending out emails and text messages attacking at least two candidates in the race for Senate, John Curtis and Trent Staggs. And they're attacking these two candidates for not being supportive enough of President Donald Trump.
This is so interesting to me, Holly, because yes, Trent Staggs he did endorse Ron DeSantis early on in the Republican primary or nomination process for president, but so did everybody else, Holly. Trent seems be probably the most credible MAGA candidate in the U.S. Senate race. So why are they going after Trent Staggs?
Well, the clear answer is because they have another candidate that they prefer. So we don't know, we can't know for sure, is it another Republican candidate? I mean, that's the assumption.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you'll see in other races nationally where you've got the other party that attacks the stronger candidate so they can get a weaker candidate to win the primary.
Right.
And then their candidate can win in the general. I don't think that's the case in Utah, but you just have to look at it and say, okay, who benefits from having John Curtis and Trent Staggs lose votes?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, Holly. And going into convention on Saturday, we know that out of convention, there will emerge likely a Republican convention nominee if any one candidate gets 60% or more of the vote at convention. With so many candidates in the race, I can't decide if I think it's likely that we'll have one 60% plus come out of convention or if we're going to split and have two convention nominees come out of convention. But regardless, we have at least three candidates who have qualified for a primary with signatures. So, Holly, this is just the tip of the iceberg, the very beginning of what could become a very nasty Senate race.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what happens, right? And one of the things that I find amusing, and I'm sure that the people who are the targets of these ads don't find amusing, but if you're getting an attack ad and it looks like a shadowy picture, they've overlaid, like it's a black and white picture where the candidate looks angry, you can be sure that that's an attack ad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they take a kernel of truth, like the Ron DeSantis thing, and then they blow it up into something that it's not really. So that's one of the things that's frustrating, right, is most of what happens is a lie, but they'll say, okay, well, there was this one time where this candidate said this thing.
Yeah.
Look, I was a victim of negative advertising or negative campaigning when I was a delegate when I was a candidate in the delegate process.
Yeah.
And there was an anonymous letter sent out. They created a fake logo and a fake letterhead and said, you know, Holly and this other candidate, we just have to tell you, they're just not good people. And nobody likes Holly, by the way. That was their attack. Nobody likes Holly. Well,
and that's like the one thing that you can't attack Holly Richardson for, because I don't know anyone who doesn't like Holly.
Well, there's plenty, but in any case, right, what happened is I didn't win. It did impact the person that they were hoping would win, and they won. And then the day after convention, the same anonymous source sent to all the delegates a letter of apology saying, oh, my bad, I was wrong, sorry.
Oh. Okay, well, I have to ask this question, Holly, and I'm not trying to lead the witness here, I promise. We have a couple minutes left. I want to disclose and be transparent about my bias. I currently serve as executive director of Count My Vote. This is the group that implemented the signature path to the primary ballot to bypass caucus convention. So I have a bias here. But let me ask this. Do you think negative campaigning has more sway among delegates or more sway among general Republican voters in a primary? I'm not leading you because I honestly don't know the answer to that question. I'm curious as to how you see it.
I actually think it has more sway among regular primary voters.
Okay.
And here's why. So the delegate pool is relatively small. So there's 4,000 GOP delegates for state races. So you've got 4,000 people that are being targeted by these negative messages. It's not that hard for those delegates to reach out to, you know, John Curtis's campaign or Trent Stagg's campaign and say, hey, tell me about this.
Yeah.
And for those campaigns to respond, right? These attacks are coming early enough. It's easy for these campaigns to respond. And they, quote unquote, only have to get to 4,000 voters. In a broader primary, it's harder, especially if the attacks come right before Election Day.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that is a fair point, Holly. I will say that even though I've been very critical of delegates and their ability to vet candidates in the past, I was a county delegate for Salt Lake County, and I attended a number of town halls, and I came away rethinking my opinion. I was very impressed with the aptitude, with the acumen, and the sincerity of the delegates I interacted with. And so I guess my hope would be that I hope our state delegates in the Republican Party are above this kind of dirty tactics. So,
I hope so too.
We'll watch it closely. I'm sure we'll have you back soon as it develops. Holly Richardson, editor at Utah Policy, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Listeners, coming up next, we will be joined by Congressman John Curtis to talk about his work challenging a new BLM rule that could undermine Utahns' ability to manage their own public lands. Stay right here. That's after the break.